Everybody can start turning to Acts chapter 2 this morning. I tell you to turn there, but we may be reading it in a different version than you normally read this in. We'll cover a few other verses before we get to Acts 2, but Acts 2 will be a majority of what we're looking at. Those of you who were here last week or have listened to the message online, last week we talked about Naaman, a story out of the Old Testament, and how healing is what he was seeking, how he expected a miracle to happen, how he believed that our God could do anything. One of the things that I heard God saying to me through that whole story was how there's power in our faith. How those who believe that there's a lot more that God wants to do. That there's an expectation for those who believe. We too can be that way when it comes to the results of what we've been praying for. You know, it's just like Ginger was saying, that we pray for something and we want it now. That's the way Naaman was last week in that story, is he wanted those results instantly, not liking what he was told to do after that. But we can expect God to answer our prayers. In fact, we should expect God to answer our prayers. The question is not if he will do it. That question is when and how. So that's so important to remember. It is God's timing. It's God's method of healing, not ours. The results are up to God, not us. So today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day of the year that we celebrate Holy Spirit being poured out on the believers. Putting things in perspective on timing of Pentecost. So Pentecost is actually the Greek word that literally means 50 days. It's actually one of the feasts that the Israelites were keeping. And if you're reading the Old Testament, it's better known as the Feast of Weeks. It's 7 weeks or 50 days after the first day of Passover, what we know better as Easter for us. It's a harvest feast. It's celebrating the first fruits of the barley winter crop. How they gave thanksgiving to God for their provision. And much like them, we can thank God for our provision today. One of the greatest ways that God shows his provision is through Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, Holy Spirit is underappreciated, but he's fully a part of the Godhead. He's one third of the triune Godhead. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's not a lesser of the three. He's actually quite equal with the Father and the Son. But they all have three distinct roles. Looking at a couple of verses here, John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Jesus fully prepared us to receive Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was not an afterthought. Holy Spirit is not plan B. It's how God planned to seal this new covenant to us. All three work in unison as well. God the Father, he sent Holy Spirit to us in Jesus' name. Jesus gets so much attention for taking our sins and saving us, but the kingdom goes way beyond salvation. Holy Spirit is how we stay charged, how we stay in constant operation, constant communion with God. John 15:26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." See, he didn't stop there. He desired for it to be known that Holy Spirit would be sent. You know, as I was preparing this message, I noticed the word that John used to describe Holy Spirit here. In the New King James Version that we just read, the word for John is translated helper. But I'm amazed at some of the different translations use how they use different words. But they're all equally accurate. So here's just a few of those that I noticed. Of course, in the New King James Version that we read here, it's helper. In the King James Version, he uses the word comforter. The New Living Translation and the New International Version, you'll see the word advocate used. The Christian Standard Bible uses the phrase counselor in this verse. The Message paraphrase, he uses the word friend. And the Passion Translation uses the phrase divine encourager. See, Holy Spirit certainly does each and every one of those things. He's an active person in our relationship with Him. He's not silent one bit. He's very much to be present in our lives. See, God designed it so wonderfully that He sent Holy Spirit here for a purpose. He sent Him to be here with us and empower us. John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." See, Jesus had been telling the disciples what was going to happen. He had been telling them even before He was crucified and rose again. He was telling them to comfort them of what the plan was. He was telling them because He was going to be leaving to return to the throne. He was preparing them so they wouldn't be unaware. God telegraphs what He plans on doing. But we have to pay attention to what He's doing. See, God planned this out, and I'm sure the last thing the disciples wanted was for Jesus to leave this earth. But since the beginning, clear back in Genesis even, God's desire has always been to use His people. His desire was for people to be in communion with Him, to have a relationship with Him. That's the way it was in the garden. Jesus had to go because in His physical body, He couldn't be everywhere at once. There was a limit to the number of people that could go through an area in a day. But by sending Holy Spirit would be able to work through His church. Holy Spirit could work through multiple believers all at the same time. Multiplication could happen once Holy Spirit was sent. It could rise exponentially, getting bigger and bigger. See, Jesus wasn't going to just abandon them without first telling them what was going to happen. He was fully communicating what the plan was. Jesus told the disciples what would happen next. Everything from the crucifixion to the resurrection to the ascension and the outpouring of Holy Spirit. See, we can see why Jesus was leaving and sending Holy Spirit to us for what He was telling the disciples to do while He was still here on the earth after the resurrection, but before the ascension. In Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then continuing on in verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." See, Jesus was here for 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus hadn't ascended long before sending Holy Spirit. Remember, Pentecost is only 50 days after Passover. So they didn't have to wait long. In fact, it probably seemed like forever, but in all reality, it wasn't very long at all. Less than 10 days. I love in verse 8 where he tells them that they will receive power. That power accompanies Holy Spirit arriving. Holy Spirit is not a bystander, but he's fully involved with the power that he puts in us. On the day of Pentecost, that room was full of misfits. They were all ordinary people. There was nothing really special about any of them, other than they all believed the words of Jesus. They had faith that he was the Messiah, that he was the one who was the chosen one of Israel. He was the anointed one. Holy Spirit does amazing things through ordinary people. He does things that you know that there's no explanation other than this is God working through his people. So many of us are familiar with Acts chapter 2, but let's take a look at how it's written in the Message paraphrase. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 2. "When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through the ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them." Continuing in verse 5, "There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother languages being spoken, they were blown away. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, 'Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them in our own various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs, they're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works.'" Then in verse 12, "Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked, they're drunk on cheap wine." And that's when Peter stood up and, backed up by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency, "Fellow Jews, all you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't even had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. 'In the last days,' God says, 'I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both. And they'll prophesy, I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turned black and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives. The day tremendous and marvelous. And whoever calls out for help to me, God, they will be saved. Amen. See, I love the flavor that we find reading it in other versions. You know, it's not the same old, same old. It's not reading it the same every time. You know, for those of us here at New Life, we fully embrace Holy Spirit moving. We never skim over Acts chapter 2. In fact, we embrace it so much that we practically know it by heart. So reading it in a new version, though, it can help open our eyes to see it as if we're reading it for the first time. Holy Spirit isn't routine, so we shouldn't be routine in how we look at His Word either, how we look at how He arrived. See, here in Acts 2, they were all together doing what Jesus had told them to do in waiting in Jerusalem for Holy Spirit to come. I hope you guys are seeing the pattern of obedience that is expected out of us, that we're doing what we were told to do by God. You know, if those disciples had not obeyed, things would have looked completely different. But God knew the ones that would be in that room were men and women of obedience. See, these men were not men of high intelligence. They were not bilingual in education. They were ordinary working class fishermen. They were ordinary people. I think sometimes it's something that we can all relate to. Now, a lot of you guys, you're much more elegant in your words than I am. You're much more better on how things will sound coming out of your mouth. But it's not about our own ability. It's not about our own skills. But it's about how God wants to do it. You know, there is a time for that, but Holy Spirit's power is what we rely on. That way it's God that gets all the glory. And there isn't any question on whether it's of man or of God. You know, Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words or human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Much like the disciples in that upper room that day, on the day of Pentecost, God wants us to use His power. God wants to do what He has told us to do. He wants us to go forth in His might, letting Holy Spirit do what Holy Spirit wants to do, submitting to His leading, submitting to His promptings. If Holy Spirit tells us to speak in tongues, we speak in tongues. If He wants us to interpret tongues, we interpret tongues the way that He leads us. If there's a word of prophecy coming forth, we speak forth what He says and no more. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So often Holy Spirit uses that to show us something that He wants healed in somebody. So we lay hands on them and let God heal them. You guys have been around New Life for a while. You've heard this said plenty of times. Healings are the dinner bell for the lost. The gifts of Holy Spirit are what non-believers will see and draw them in. And then you just introduce them to Jesus. You let them start their own relationship with God. See, God shows off, and then the attention should be pushed right back to Him. His power is shown, not for us to have good health and feel good that we got a word from God, that we heard from God. Yes, he does that all out of that desire for relationship with us, but it's not why he does it. His power is because it's what's expected out of us when we're to be witnesses for him. Remember, he told us to wait until we received power from the Holy Spirit, and then we would be witnesses to him in all those places. Holy Spirit power is for witnessing. Signs, wonders, and miracles are exactly what God wants to do. He wants us to let Holy Spirit move the way that he wants to move. No one understands the person that we're interacting with better than Holy Spirit, better than God himself. See, when Holy Spirit power is shown, all attention is off of us. It's focused right back on God. If you can reason with somebody into believing, someone else can reason them out of believing. But when they witness what Holy Spirit is saying to them, where Holy Spirit's the one showing them directly by his power, by his might, there's nothing that can prove them wrong. Now, Pastor John, are you sure about this? Maybe you've been told that the gifts of the Spirit died with the last of the apostles. Well, it's one of the biggest lies that the enemy wants us to believe. He wants us to think that Holy Spirit power is not for today. That prophetic words don't happen anymore. That healings don't happen anymore. That apostles and prophets ended after the first century. No. It's all for the ecclesia today. It's for the church today. For us to go forth in his power. See, we see more of this idea of his power being shown through the believers in Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." It doesn't say they might recover. It doesn't say they might or could cast out demons. No, it says that God is faithful to keep his word. It says he will. He doesn't hold back from his people. If he said it, he will do it. One of the encouraging things here to see is that we immediately see the answer to this promise in the verse following what we just read there. Mark 16, verse 19. "Then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, where the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs." Amen. God answers his promises. He keeps his word. He doesn't say something if he doesn't plan on doing it. He is faithful. If he did it for them, he'll do it for us. God didn't love the 12 disciples any more than he loves us. His desire is to give the best for his people. What better gift than Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit power was something that Jesus had equipped them and had and had them see for themselves the results of it. Even when Jesus had been sending the believers out in pairs, he was sending them out in the power of the Spirit as he breathed on them. In Matthew 10, verse 7, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." One of the greatest disservices that we have is when we keep what God has given us for ourselves. It's meant to be shared. Freely we receive, freely we give. He's not stingy, not holding back. He doesn't want us to keep it for ourselves. It said to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Just as Jesus did all those things, he enabled us to do the same. In fact, he said, greater things than you've seen me do, you will do. He told us that we need to exercise our faith to operate in Holy Spirit power. Holy Spirit is right here in us. He wants to move. He wants to show us what he's wanting to do. But he needs a yielded vessel to work through. He needs people paying attention to him, sold out to God. Recognizing that the relationship he has is for us. He desires to be known in us, be known to us first. And then for us to recognize his voice and his desires and execute on what he's saying. If you remember nothing more from today's sermon, remember this. God wants us to operate in power, but it's only as he prompts us to do. He doesn't want us to go before him. He wants us to stay right there in step with him. We can't manufacture Holy Spirit moving, but he wants us to hear him and hear what he desires, how he wants to move. We can't expect that because we play this one particular song this one time and we did this and that, that's the way he's always going to act. That he'll move the same way every time. We can't think that, oh, well, because I got a prophetic word one week, I'm going to have a prophetic word every week. God doesn't always work that way. It's as Holy Spirit sees fit. All the gifts of Holy Spirit are as he sees fit. It's not about trying to make something happen. It's about paying attention to Holy Spirit and hearing what he has to say and then acting on what he's telling us to do. But once he's told us to do it, look out, because that is what he wants us to do. That's the time for us to walk out in obedience. He wants to show up and show off, so to speak. He wants us to do more than just show off in our weekly services. God is not into routines. When we get into routines, that's when we get stagnant. It's when things start to become religious. It's when you get stuck in a rut. I'll say a rut usually is made from going back and forth, to where you start wearing it down in the middle, wearing it down in the middle. Next thing you know, it gets real deep. It's hard to get out of that rut. At that point, a rut's no more than the grave without ends on each side. That's when we stop paying attention and letting God move the way he wants. I've grown an appreciation for the suddenlies. I'm believing in the suddenlies. The arrival of the Holy Spirit was a suddenly. I love the way the Message paraphrase put it there, where he says, without warning. But at the same time, it was fully telegraphed. We just have to be paying attention and putting it all together. You know, I was just talking with Ashley on Friday, and we were remembering how sometimes we only have one piece at a time. But then you realize and you recognize when it is in fulfillment that this is how all those words work together for this time. This is what God was saying through that all. We took it one way, but it was fully intended to be fulfilled and found at the fullness of the time of what God was saying it would happen. It comes to us as a surprise. And as hard as it is, embrace the surprises. Embrace the suddenly. Embrace the unexpected. God is up to something. He wants to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. But it's as He sees fit. You know, His timing is perfect. His timing is grand. So let Him disrupt what you have planned. Let Him show you a person to interact with. Allow yourself to let Him be the one to put you where you least expect it. Interacting with somebody that you have an encouraging word for them. You might be mowing the lawn and He shows you someone to reach out to and see what's up. It might be interacting with the mailman, the garbage truck driver, the person changing their tire in the parking lot that you're in. God wants to show Himself to them. He knows what it is that He wants to show them. He knows what the message that they need to hear is. It's not for us to know what it means, but it's rather for us to be a conduit to allow Holy Spirit to use us, to transmit His power and show His glory. Now, I don't know what God has planned, but I'm sure it's big. I don't know what He's up to, but I'm in. Let's all be sold out to God. Allow Him to do what He's always wanted to do. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for showing Yourself strong through this all. Lord, we thank You for revealing Yourself to us. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Holy Spirit, we pray that You show us how to steward Your power. Lord, that You show us what You are wanting to do to show off Your power and give You all the glory. Lord, we don't want to go ahead of You. We don't want to lag behind You, God, but we want to be right there as vessels for Your glory. Lord, have Your way in us. Lord, have Your way in us, Lord. We whatever Your plans are, we fully submit to them. Lord, we thank You for what You're doing, and we thank You for who You are. Lord, we humble ourselves before You. Lord, we thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your role in our lives. We thank You for that relationship in our lives. We thank You that there is no one like You. We give You all the honor and glory. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.